What's up, guys? Max here, back with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. If this intro felt a little bit different, it's because I spent all day working on a brand new motion graphics intro, and then just now, right before the stream started, I'm panicking because it didn't work. Everything totally broke on me. So I apologize for the sick theme song that I know you guys were counting on. Didn't happen today. Podcast listeners won't know the difference. But everybody else, darn it, gosh, I spent all day working on that. I need to restart my computer or something like that. What is up, everybody out there? Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, I hope you're having a great day. Evian in the chat, thanks for checking in. And anybody else who's out there, check in. Let me know that you're out there. It is great to be here with you. I have some wild and crazy, insane stories for you guys today, including breaking news out of Florida from today. We have stuff from that'll rattle you to the core about leadership out there in the military. We've got people out there getting scammed online. You know, I hate my scammers. Some crazy stuff out of the Army, a few crazy stories out of the Army, as a matter of fact, and even more. We're going to be reacting to a game at the end here, a brand new game that just came out. I know a lot of people out there love the games, the video games. I do too, so we're going to be talking about that. Gosh, I'm so bummed. Just got that thing working. I thought it was really cool. I spent all morning on it, and it didn't work. But that's okay. It's not the end of the world. I have a big update for you guys from yesterday, because I got into my Blue Jackets manual after yesterday's show ended, and I was looking up when we were looking at the where do sailors go to the bathroom, and those signs on the wall that tell you where in the ship you are, the Blue Jackets manual reminded me that those are called bullseyes. So check the bullseye on the bulkhead, and it will let you know where in the ship you are. And everything else that I said was correct. You've got the second deck. You've got the distance out of the center. You've got the berthing. And you've got the people who own the compartment. So thank you for bearing with me on that, and you're welcome for the information. John, what's up? AN, bring on the crazy and insane. If you guys must have the crazy and insane, then let's get into it with today's first story. We've got man dies after crashing car into security barriers at Navy base in Florida. This is the moment that the gate guards are waiting for. Their whole gate guard and careers hinge on this moment. And finally, they got what they were waiting for when a man charged the gate at Jacksonville in a blue Nissan Altima and met his demise thanks to some swift action from the gate guards. It's a sad thing. Nobody wants to have to do this when they go to work, but bravo Zulu to the gate guards for when the one moment they get tested in the real world, they shine and they protect that base. It says here, a man died Thursday morning at the front gate of Naval Air Station Jacksonville, NAS Jax, after crashing his car into security barriers deployed by base guards. The man, who has not been identified, was driving a blue Nissan Altima when he attempted to enter the base. Police believe he was fleeing the scene of another accident at 6:30 in the morning after hitting a car at an intersection about 3 miles from the gate. Florida Police Sergeant Dylan Bryan gave that information. After the crash, the driver turned into Birmingham Avenue, where his car sideswiped a Tahoe, then proceeded through the gate, attempting to enter the base without authorization, which is a no-no. Take charge of this post and all government property in view. Challenge all persons on or near my post and allow no one to pass without proper authority. All right? Those are your general orders. People out there, you know, you recite them, you memorize them. Then the moment comes, that day comes, where you have to use them. And that's what happened today. So what did they do? The gate guards deployed a barricade. Boom, you hit the button, metal beams pop up out of the ground, and they ended up causing severe damage to that car when it hit it at high speeds, struck the barricade, which that thing's not going anywhere, and the driver was not wearing a seatbelt, so he ended up passing away. Here are scenes from Jacksonville, NAS Jax, this morning. So we've got the police out there at the main gate. This is just a short video. You can see that they have that cordoned off and they're doing their investigation. It's not every day. It's not every day that somebody has to go into action at the gate, but when they do, I'm sure glad that their training kicked in and they did their job. That's why I always say here on the Scuttlebutt Show, when ish hits the fan, you don't rise to the occasion, you fall back on your training. So that's why training is always so important, and they must have been doing a good job over there at Jack. So shout out to the gate guards over there at NAS Jacksonville. That's awesome. If we find out any more information about this story, I will let you guys know. But as of right now, there's just this image from the security camera of the car charging the gate and video of the aftermath. So let me know what you guys think about that in the comments section down below. Crazy. Really wild and crazy stuff over there. It's not every day. It's not every day. John says, I was armed with a 9mm and a baton when I did gate guard. It's a serious duty. Pro Hero, that's a busy gate at NAS Jax. Good job. Heck yeah. Good job. Bravo Zulu. It's a rare occurrence. There's been a couple incidences in San Diego at the gate where the guards have had to use their lethal service issued weapon. And you hope it doesn't happen to you, but if you do, it's great when I see people jump in there and do the right thing. That's really cool. So I'd love to hear your best gate guard story. Email it to me, tag me on social, whatever it is. I would love to hear it. Man, leadership. Just the other day, we had that Air Force colonel going on, talking all his wokeness and whatever. My problem with wokeness isn't the messaging. It's that I know that the people saying it don't mean it. It's that I know for a fact the people talking this talk don't, in fact, walketh thy walk. They don't walketh thy walk, if you will. And while this isn't the same guy, this is why people like me don't trust the people in charge. Nellis, out in Vegas, Air Force officer accused of assaulting, grooming minor victim. So, you know, this is the fullest type of assault. This is the worst of the worst. This is like kid inappropriate stuff. I'm not going to say it, but you know what I'm getting at. A Nellis Air Force base officer allegedly groomed a girl for, you know, adult behavior, was accused of assaulting her and then committed lewd acts in front of her. Lieutenant Colonel Kevin DeFalco, who's 40, faces a charge of child abuse and 7 counts of lewdness in the presence of a minor. Imagine that's your commanding officer. That's exactly who this guy was. Somebody's commanding officer. The girl reported to a school counselor last week that she was assaulted and abused by DeFalco, a person she knew, between December and June, so for 6 months. In an interview with police, she said DeFalco began grooming her prior to December by sending her underwear and bikinis in the mail with notes saying he wanted to see her wear them. Oh my God. DeFalco and the girl started communicating on Snapchat in November. That's why 40-year-olds shouldn't have Snapchat, and if they do, there's something weird about them. DeFalco allegedly asked the victim inappropriate questions, and they used a code system to let the other know it was safe to talk freely. So he had totally, you know, in his mind, figured this whole thing out. He's like, okay, I'll say, is the ice cream still cold? And she'll say, it's frozen. And then he knows that it's time to talk or whatever. I just made that up right now, but something like that. He would then talk to her and then also tell her, hey, make sure you delete those messages. If somebody's telling you, hey, make sure you delete those messages, nobody can ever see those messages, stop that conversation. Stop talking to that person. There should be no message on your phone that you should have to delete. If the dude abides by those laws, you will have a very peaceful and stress-free life. It's so easy. What do I always say? I always say, live your life in a way that if asked about it, you would tell the truth. That's my guiding principle. One of them. I have a few. But one of my guiding principles is to live my day-to-day life in such a way that if somebody asks me about it, I will tell the truth proudly. I'll not hesitate to tell the truth. In my mind, I just act like I cannot lie. And if I do something bad, I'll tell the truth. That's it. It's like if you really accept personal responsibility for your actions, you won't do bad stuff. It's so simple, but it's hard in practice. The girl described several occasions when she was assaulted by DeFalco. The victim also said she attempted to overdose in February because of the abuse and was hospitalized. So this abuse took this girl to the edge, to the breaking point of her mental health. She said she also developed an eating disorder as a result. DeFalco was the 57th Operations Support Squadron commander but was only relieved of his position on Thursday due to his alleged personal misconduct. The base confirmed DeFalco was under investigation by Las Vegas police, who they are cooperating with. DeFalco was arrested on Thursday, posted bail, and is back in court October 11th. If we get updates on this, I will bring you guys the updates, because this is a totally disturbing story that I will continue to follow. It's a joke. It's a big joke. The Air Force put this person in charge, gave them the power of the UCMJ to use against their subordinates, and they're out there for half of a year assaulting a young girl, taking her to the point of trying to self-harm, and it's totally unforgivable. If he's guilty, I hope he pays the dearest of prices. The dearest of prices. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments down below. Totally sad deal there. Totally sad deal. God, not more P words, Kitty says. They're the worst. I agree. They are the worst. They are the worst. AN says, 40-year-old lieutenant colonel, isn't that a bit early? No, that's probably, you could be a lieutenant colonel in 15 years for sure. You could be a lieutenant colonel in 13, 15 years, no problem. In fact, you probably should be eligible for 05 in 13 to 15 years, definitely. If you want to track towards, flag officer or something like that. But that does imply that this person was viewed by the Air Force as a super squared away guy, somebody that they would put in charge of a command. So someone that they considered on the fast track, if you will, somebody that had the opportunity, because if you make rank that fast, you probably are somebody that they're considering as colonel or brigadier general or something like that. That's very much possible in your future, but not unusual for a 40-year-old 05. I think Stu Scheller, probably 40-year-old 05. So, it's tragic. The business of finding people online to manipulate, take advantage of the youth, the young ones, especially. It's really sick stuff. Similarly, in our next story, a few people decided to take kind of the same route, a little bit different. Let's get into this next story. This is a good one. Virginia Tinder swindler, the common term for somebody who preys on people over Tinder, has been found and pled guilty to targeting sailors. A Virginia man pled guilty on Tuesday to being part of a scam that entailed posing as women, because they were dudes, on a dating app to swindle sailors out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're going to get into the breakdown of how much money they took and from who here in a minute. But Samari Smith, a 20-year-old man from Newport News, and at least four co-conspirators pretended to be women looking for a romantic relationship on Tinder. Oh my gosh. It says from approximately April to August of 2021, Smith targeted at least four, but definitely more sailors, three of them low-ranking petty officers and one seaman apprentice. They obviously don't know where the big ballers are at, stationed in the Hampton Roads area. Impersonating Navy Federal Credit Union employees, the conspirators' end goal was to obtain information from account holders to access their accounts. The swindlers, posing as women on the app and using names like Ariella, would demonstrate romantic interest in sailors. Once they would match, swipe and write, the members of the conspiracy would then ask their targets for help transferring money from a fictitious sister in the Navy. So, you want to believe that you're falling in love. You want to believe that the person on the other end of that line is real. But if you are getting asked for your bank account information on Tinder, it's probably not, and I repeat, not super legit. So what they would do is they would say that they needed money sent to their sister, and I'm guessing they would probably say, hey, can I transfer you money? Then you transfer money to my sister, and then we'll be all even, and I just can't do it because of Navy Federal, and I work for Navy Federal. It's a conflict of interest, blah, 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 something like that. So Smith, who is the main person here that this article talks about, led to more than $40,000 in fraud. Smith was indicted and arrested in July. He faces up to 30 years in prison, which, if guilty, I hope he gets all of them. Two co-conspirators previously pled guilty. They include the ringleader Traquan Smith and Imani Burton, 23, of Hamptons, Virginia. So let's do a breakdown really quick of how much money they took. Here are some things that Smith and his co-conspirators did. They posed as Navy Federal Credit Union employees, contacting account holders to get info to gain access to their accounts. Targeted sailors in the Navy by posing as women interested in romantic relationships. Used accounts they previously accessed by phishing to transfer funds to other targeted sailors. asked sailors to withdraw the illegally transferred funds, often through a ploy that they were hoping a relative in the Navy who was trying to, that they were helping a relative in the Navy who was trying to send money. Met sailors by internet and met in person in various parts of Eastern Virginia to obtain the fraudulent proceeds. Here is a breakdown of the victims and how much money they took. So it actually says here, victim Kilo Hotel lost $13,500. Kilo, these are all initials, by the way, $13,000. I'm going to go through some of the high ones here. Victim Foxtrot Whiskey, $20,000. Victor Lima, $17,000. Golf Whiskey, $18,000. Charlie Sierra, $17,000. And victim Mike Romeo for $91,000. Oh my God. So this is a significant amount of money. This is a significant scam that they were doing out here. These kids from Virginia who were up to no good. Hopefully, if they pled guilty, if the other people are found guilty, they end up with the maximum penalty. They probably won't. They'll probably walk free the next day. But in my mind, hopefully it'll get the maximum penalty and serve the time for defrauding these active duty service members out of a grand total of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Let me know what you think about that. Have you ever been catfished? Have you ever been targeted online by something like this a little bit more aggressively than just a, hello, I am a prince and I need to transfer my money? We all get those. Have you ever been the target of a scam like this? Let me know that in the comments down below. The military is extra, you know, vulnerable to this kind of stuff because they're easy targets. And everyone knows exactly how much money they make. Everyone knows that they get paid on the 1st and the 15th. They are, the scammers are out there. I think I once bought like a fake Rolex. I got scammed into buying a fake Rolex. To be young again. To be young and getting robbed frequently in all different ways. Those were the days. Those were the days. Luckily, it was through Navy Federal. Kitty's asking, will they be able to get their money back? Navy Federal, you know, and federally endorsed credit unions or federally insured credit unions tend to be really good at giving your money back. I think fraud, bank fraud, and identity theft is so commonplace now that the banks don't even ask questions. They just give your money back because the federal government insures it. So I think they probably will get their money back. I hope. Maybe if one of those people out there hears this episode, they will get in touch with me and let me know what happened. Oh, gosh. Pro Hero says that's the kind of stuff that mandated training really needs to cover. Yeah, you idiots doing your mandated training that they say that they're going to arrest you if you don't do, you morons. I know we said we were going to arrest you if you don't do your mandatory training, but also you're an idiot for doing it. Oh my God, what a loser. Hey, I'm the Sergeant Major of the Army, and I think you're a stupid loser if you do what I say. Oh, you're gross. You're a gross person. Yesterday's story bothered me, shook me to my core. When my wife got home, I told her, and she was just laughed like this because she was like, just, you know, she sees, I don't want to speak for her. I see how stupid everything is. Like, we're all just getting punked and everything is exactly 180 degrees backwards from how it should be. Everything seems to be 180 degrees backwards from how it should be, including and especially this next story. Army just casually suggesting that, hey, if you're in the Army and you're starving because you can't afford food because we don't pay you enough, you know what you should do? You should just do food stamps, making the Army today's Scuttlebutt Show Clown of the Day. For 2 days in a row, actually, the U.S. Army has released guidance for soldiers as they fight inflation, including a suggestion that they take advantage of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, commonly known as food stamps. Of course, forget the fact that the active duty military has access to a little thing called the commissary, which could always, you know, adjust prices, but the commissary does accept SNAP, WIC, EBT, and all that stuff. Hey, so why take care of your troops? Just recommend that they go down to the welfare office. No big deal. SNAP, a benefit for low-income Americans, is a program for which service members and their families may be eligible. Soldiers and their families can go to the SNAP website and apply to find out if they are. With inflation affecting everything from gas prices to groceries to rent, some soldiers and their families are finding it harder to get by on the budgets they've set and used before. Guidance from Sergeant Major Michael Grinston, the genius we talked about yesterday, soldiers of all ranks can seek guidance, assistance, and advice through the Army's Financial Readiness Program, which is somebody in your shop who went to 2 hours of training and now they're in charge of your finances. SNAP applications are processed through state agencies, each with its own eligibility standards. Applicants have to go through their local offices. I do want to stop right there and say some Command financial advisors work really hard and do a really good job and really care, and they help a lot of people. Some are not so good. All right, that's it. No hate here. If you join the military and have a government student loan, the U.S. government will pay it off in 10 years through a public service loan forgiveness program and other benefits like that that can help troops recover financially from this crisis. But it doesn't change the fact that if you're an E2 soldier, you joined the military, you have kids or whatever, and you need to eat, you currently cannot afford to. That is an absolutely sad situation. And if I was part of the Defense Commissary Agency, I would adjust prices and take the hit because they make tons of money and provide, in my opinion, substandard quality service and just make sure people can eat. All right. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below. Totally sad. Totally sad. Let's see. Kitty says, they've talked about food stamps in the Army since I was in years ago. I'm sort of kind of surprised they haven't fixed this problem yet. Yeah. But we make too much money, John says. Well, it depends who you are. Depends who you are. Then once you start getting that BAS, they make you pay for the galley too. At least in the Navy, we call it a BAS, basic allowance for sustenance. But if you get BAS, which is for people living off base, and you want to eat at the galley, you have to pay for the galley. Kitty says, they suggested a buddy of mine take out a loan. So the Navy has something called the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society that gives out interest-free loans for when your family can't afford to eat. But that's a terrible option. You guys know. You already know. Maybe you don't. There's this next story. Kind of cool. Might get you guys out of here early today. This next story is sad, but it's a lesson. There's a lesson here. There's a couple. We've got a video. We got a couple videos today. We have a few videos today. We're going to be watching one of them right now. Caution, you are about to see somebody get knocked the F out. Want to see somebody get knocked the F out? Hold on a second. We're going to watch the video. Australian jury convicts nightclub bouncer of attack that seriously injured United States Marine. So have you ever been a Marine deployed to Australia? If so, did you go out and get wasted drunk sometimes? That's exactly what happened to this guy. Before we get to the details of the story, let's take a look at what actually happened. So here I have a video of this gentleman getting knocked out outside of this bar by a bouncer in Australia. As you can see here, he's acting a fool, and he never had a chance. This is what happens when you're wasted drunk and you get a big head. Witnesses say that before this punch, the guy getting knocked out said, I'm a Marine, I could kill you. And then this guy punched him in the face. So, is some of the responsibility on the drunk person, you know, acting like a jerk? Honestly, no, because the bouncer's supposed to know not to punch you out cold in the street. And because he didn't use any de-escalation, he got into some trouble. So here's the whole story. A nightclub bouncer who knocked down a U.S. Marine to the ground during a street confrontation last year in Darwin, which is the site of Murph D, a giant Marine training exercise, has been convicted of causing serious harm. He ended up causing this Marine such a bad injury that he lost a significant amount of time in his life when he was in the hospital and then in rehab, and he had to have part of his skull removed. So the bouncer, Hayden Robert Bruce Summers, 34 years old, was found guilty of unlawfully causing serious harm on September 2nd by a jury in the Northern Territory Supreme Court. The CCTV footage right there showed obviously that it looked almost like the Marine took almost like a swing at him, got in his face, definitely. But the bartender didn't try to walk away. He didn't try to de-escalate or anything like that. He went right for the punch, and that's why he ended up being found guilty. So that's unfortunate for everybody out there, definitely. They did try to put up a defense for him, but the defense failed because of the video being pretty damning. The witnesses there did say, I could kill you, I'm a Marine, or something like that, right before the punch happened. If the bouncer had tried to de-escalate, maybe he would have gotten away with it or something like that. But it is definitely a bad deal to go out there, get drunk, and get into a fight, especially when you're just standing there with your hands down, acting tough, getting in somebody's face. You're just going to get knocked out. So please don't do it. Please don't think that you're tougher than you are. Please don't think that you're some like superhero when you're drunk. You're absolutely not. Has that ever happened to you or somebody that you know, something like that, a drunk moment that ended up in some kind of big fight or getting knocked the F out? Let me know in the comments down below. Goodness gracious. That was not a good deal for that guy, huh? That was not a good deal. In fact, it was a bad deal. That was a bad deal. Sad, sad day for sure. Kitty says, curious, was that the Marine, was what the Marine said heard on CCT, or was it what the bouncer said? So the CCTV footage that we just watched had no audio, but the bouncer was not the person who said that. It was another, it was a bystander who said that. So the bouncer was not the one to make the claim that that's what the Marine said. It was some other bystander. Do I think that it's possible that the Marine was running his mouth saying something like that? Very much so. What caused the confrontation in the first place? Unclear. We don't have information on that. Could there be anything that excuses that kind of behavior? Probably not. If somebody doesn't hit you, don't hit them. That's it. It's super simple. Especially if you're a sober security guard and this person is a drunk maniac, don't do it. I know a lot of veterans out there get their bodyguard license or their guard card, I think is what they call it in California, and they go out and they do this kind of job. You got to do it with responsibility. You got to do it. You got to have serious patience, like being a prison guard or a police officer or anything like that. When you have that authority position, you have to be patient. It's like being a parent, probably. You have to be super patient. You have to take the high ground on that stuff. That's part of the job. That's what you're signing up for, is to take the high road. You're not a mob enforcer out there breaking thumbs and kneecaps, you know? You're not Rocky in Rocky One before all the, you know, glory of the ring. You're out there just breaking thumbs. It's not it. You're a professional. Alan, what's up? 20 pounds is enough force on the head to kill. Wow, 20 pounds. I feel like my head weighs 20 pounds. Maybe that's why my brain is always acting so dumb. So we're going to get out of here early today, guys. It's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday. Kwanda. You guys know Kwanda. I love Kwanda. Join me tomorrow live, 1500 Pacific. Question and answer. You can call me on Zoom and ask me anything you want. I would love to hear from you. It's one of my favorite times is when people call in and talk to me on the show. I love that so much. So bring your questions. Bring your A game. I'm out there to answer questions. Shout out to Rambo, who was in the chat yesterday. Great to see you, Rambo. And I hope that you're doing well. Hopefully you'll be there tomorrow if you're listening right now. And I've got a big story here because this is really cool. And terrifying. Video, which we're going to watch, of U.S. soldiers training against drone swarm offers glimpse at future of warfare. Swarm is what they call it when a bunch of drones are all operating cooperatively towards, you know, one sort of fixed goal. And they use a lot of machine learning and AI algorithms and video computer vision to target whatever they're being tasked with. You could have, like here, 40 armed drones targeting people, and they fly over to battlefield, and they're small little quadcopters, each with an explosive strap to it, and they fly directly into the target and take it out. You don't have much of a chance. So it says here, Brigadier General Curtis Taylor, the training center's commander, tweeted a video on September 11th showing a swarm of 40 quadcopter drones flying through the sky as part of a simulated attack by the 11th Armored Cav on a unit from the 1st Armored. And we have that video right here. Let's take a look-see-doodle. Look at that. Holy smokes. Imagine each of those has a block of C4 attached to it, and they're flying straight at you full speed. What are you going to do? You have no chance. What a beautiful sight. Swarms have been in work in the military for a while, and they are finally becoming deployable, and that's really cool. Let's watch it again. I'm going to mute it. So swarms are interesting. There are all kinds of deployable swarms. There are drones that can deploy swarms of drones off of their own wings and then recover them. There are swarms that can fly out of the back of the aircraft. There are swarms of drones that can fight swarms of other drones. This swarm concept is really cool. And you could very quickly overwhelm an enemy by deploying hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of these into a battle space. Each one of them fast, lightning fast, completely agile, small. They can fit into small spaces. They can avoid terrain and obstacles like buildings and windows, and they can see you and target you with their computer vision. It doesn't look good. So what do you guys think? What's the future of warfare look like with these drones? I want to hear your thoughts. It says here, the drones will be as important in the first battle of the next war as artillery is today. Do you agree with that? It says, we're working to integrate them into our battlefield simulation system, and we intend to use them, said Taylor. There's a huge potential here. That's really cool. I obviously, as a drone pilot, completely support this. These drones are likely not piloted, but there's no reason that you couldn't get a bunch of pilots to fly, you know, a bunch of these, and then you fly one into somebody, you take over another one that's kind of loitering above, you fly that into somebody, and it could just go on and on. You could have five pilots controlling 100 drones in a swarm, and it's just like respawning in a video game. You put one onto terminal, you prosecute the target, you take control of another one, you go get the next target. That could go on and on and on. It could be really cool. It could be really cool. In contrast, you have anti-drone technology. They have ray guns that shoot out really high-powered RF-directed emissions that can make the thing lose its mind and go crazy and crash. You've got net guns. They fire little, like, you know, deployable nets that catch the thing in the air. But do you think that's really going to work if you've got hundreds of these things coming at you? I don't know. You would have to have some kind of RF bubble around you that would have to be pretty powerful and pretty expansive. Do they have something like that? I'm not really sure. That I don't know about as to what the range on those things is. They are working on all this counter-drone. Counter-drone has become a huge thing ever since I was in Iraq and ISIS was using like off-the-shelf drones to drop grenades onto Kurds up in Mosul and Americans and Canadians and everything as well and used them for targeting. All of a sudden, anti-drone became this huge push. And it will continue to be the push because as long as there are enemy forces out there using drones, you're going to need the counter. And then you want to come up with your own counter so you can counter the counter. It just goes on and on and on. And this is what the engineers do. This is what the liaisons do. This is why you need the ground guy and the engineer in the same room, is to come up with countermeasures and then countermeasures to the countermeasures. And it just goes on and on. And soon we'll just have millions of robots fighting each other on the battlefield. That's exactly what it's going to be, just like something out of the Terminator. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments down below. It's cool stuff. That's pretty cool stuff. I think that that's really cool. That's exactly my jam right there. Harry Lime Pie, $1.99 super chat with a red hand pointing up. Thank you so much. John says Sea of Green in the chat today because of all those members, which I know I owe to Harry Lime Pie. Everyone out there probably owes their membership status to Harry Lime Pie, so thank you very much. It truly humbles me to see all that green. It really, really, really is motivating and inspiring and all that. So thank you, and I'm working on some really awesome stuff. These drones remind me of the robot dogs they have. China started arming them with weapons, but they aren't crazy accurate yet. Did you see just a couple weeks ago we had that? We had the robot dogs with machine guns on them. That video is up on my TikTok. Nuggets, what's up? Oh, yeah, I saw this story today and thought, what the hell? I was in health class and told my pals about it. One line led to another, and I was doing a whole breakdown of the drone future warfare used by ISIS. Good. You know, that's awesome. I'll tell you who didn't have drones. Are you guys ready? Do you guys want to know who didn't have drones? I can tell you. It was the soldiers in World War I. They did not have drones. They did not, repeat, did not have drones. And you could be them in this new game. Isonzo, a new World War I first-person shooter, just came out. It's available now to play. If you want to know the experience of fighting in World War I, this game tries to make it happen for you. Featuring battles, famous battles in northern Italy, the Italian front is brought to life in this World War I shooter, Isonzo. We're going to watch the trailer and let me know if you guys are going to play this game, and we'll talk about why I am and am not excited for something like this. Let's watch the trailer and see what this is all about.
Yeah.
That looks super intense. I'll just say the problem with a game like that, and we've seen this before, is nobody's playing it. You know, just today they announced the new Warzone 2 modes and game types and all that stuff. Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2 and Warzone 2 and all this stuff. And there's going to be a million people playing that. There might not be anybody playing this. So those people go out of their way, and I've heard this game's actually pretty good, to make a really cool, really special game like Asanzo to tell the history of World War One in some kind of authentic and immersive way. And then the problem is nobody's really playing it. So they go through all that work. They go through, you know, season pass this and special uniforms or whatever. And then it kind of fizzles out. We saw that with Behind the Wire as well, Enlisted, all these other games that people get, and we play it for a little while, and then it kind of fizzles out. And that makes me sad. I wish people cared more about a game like this, just for the historical context and kind of getting into that mind space. I'll tell you one thing, though. Give me the Bugle. Just give me the Bugle. Send me in. I'm not scared. I'll bugle boy my way onto the battlefield. That's it. I want to like this and signal that it's time to party. Let's boogie. Let's do it. That must have been a really scary time in World War One out there in Italy or any other battle spaces. It was incredibly violent and brutal war. And just like we're going to see soon, All Quiet on the Western Front coming to Netflix. And there's a resurgence of classic war stories being told, and I really appreciate that. So my hat's off to the makers of this game. It looks awesome. Maybe I'll try it. But my thought is after a few months, it's not going to be really playable anymore because there won't be enough people online doing it. So go check it out if you want to. That's your info on it. Go forth and do great things. Let's see. And that was it, guys. That was the last thing I had for you today, to be totally honest. It looks better than Battlefield 1, yes. The 12 Battles of Asanzo. No, I've never heard of that. Is that a book? Nego Debt, welcome. The Italian hillsides are so good. Graphics just keep getting better. The Armchair Historian made a video about it in the 12 Battles. I'll check that out. That sounds like something right up my alley. I'm going to get you guys out of here early today. It's a Thursday afternoon. I'm going to jiu-jitsu after this. I'm working on big, great things for you guys, and I really mean that. I have some stuff that is going to, I hope, mean a lot to you. It means a lot to me. More information on all that coming soon. Big announcements coming soon. Well, that's it. Join me tomorrow for Quanda Q&A. It's going to be awesome. 1500 Pacific every Friday. Kitty says, don't forget to have memorabilia. I do. I already have it picked out. So thank you very much for reminding me. I have it picked out. With all that being said, folks. Oh, Max, can you change the level of membership? If so, how? Yes, I think you can just go to your membership, click your YouTube account or click the join button below this video. And you should be able to do it if you want to. That would be dope. Always. I always appreciate that kind of stuff very, very, very much. Actually, it's quite meaningful to me. If you can't figure it out, I'll try to take a look after this is over and I'll have something to tell you tomorrow. So guys, with all that being said, thank you for joining me. Have a great day. Go out there and be a good person in your community. Be a good member of your family. Tell the people you care about you love them. Call an old friend. Do whatever you're going to do. I look forward to talking to you guys very soon. Until next time, folks, that's the Scuttlebutt.